Lord Father, we come to you and ask that you would just continue to speak to us. Thank you that you have given us your word so that we can see what you would have for us, so we could be confronted with who you are, your truth. Lord Father, I pray that today that we would fall more in love with you. And Lord Father, the things that we hold on to so tightly here on this earth, Lord, that we would open our hands and we would freely give everything that we have. And we would say it's all yours, we know it's yours. And that we would allow you to instruct us on how to use this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. Children's Church, kindergarten through sixth grade, they're headed out. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 19 today, if you want to turn there. We're going to continue in this series of sacrifice. And for us, if we're going to talk about sacrifice, we have to go. We have to. We can't skip the rich young ruler. And I know some of you may have heard this several times, but there's truth in this for us today, because to tell the truth, we are looking to Christ, but a lot of times we're holding more tightly to the things that this world has than we are to Him. And in this passage, Jesus challenges this young man, and the same challenge goes to us. He's challenging us to let go of the things that this world has and hold tight to the thing that will last forever, the one that will last forever, which is Jesus Christ. Here in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16, this is what it happened, okay? It says, just then a man came up to Jesus. He asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to receive eternal life?" He, in Southern language, "What must I do to be saved?" 17, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Or in other translations, "Who is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. And if you want to enter the kingdom, obey the commands." So you have this young man that's coming up, and we know he's young because it tells us a little bit later. And he has lots of things, and he comes asking Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? How can I be saved? Now, I want you to understand about this young man, and we're going to see a little more, is that he thought that he was good already. He thought he was good, because all of us, we all believe that we're good. Somebody asks, "Are you pretty good?" "Yeah, I think I'm pretty good." You ask people that don't follow Christ, "Are you going to get to heaven? Are you going to heaven?" And they'll probably say, yeah, I think so, because I do a lot of good things. I think I might make it. I'm a pretty good person. You hear this all the time. And so Jesus confronts him exactly where he is, and he tells him this. He says, why do you ask about what is good? He says, there's only one that is good. In this statement, Jesus points out the man's need to be saved. He came thinking, probably, "I'm a pretty good guy," but Jesus confronts him and is like, "Hey, you're not really good. There's only one that's good." I love Rudy. Y'all like the movie Rudy? Rudy. Y'all like that? I love that movie. I watch it. I could watch it every week, I think. I love that. But there's a line in there as the priest is talking to him. He says, "I know two things," the priest said. He goes, "I know there's a God, and I know I'm not Him." And here, this is what Jesus is basically telling this young man. There's only one that's good, that's God, and you're not Him. You're not good. So for all of us, let's go ahead and get in our mind that we're not good. We're wicked. We're sinful. And Jesus is going to press down on this even harder as he continues to talk to this young man. So the young man, "What must I do to be saved?" And now Jesus is like, "Why are you talking about who's good? There's only one that's good." Picking up in verse 18. Jesus told him, "Hey, you got to obey the commandments." So this young man goes, "Which ones?" How about that? "Which ones? Tell me a few. Tell me which ones you're talking about." "Which one?" the man asked. Jesus said, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not be a false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." And listen to what he says. I have obeyed all these commands, the young man said. What else must I do? The man had a distorted view of himself, didn't he? He saw these commandments. He goes, I've done all those things. I've done them all. I told you I'm pretty good. You remember we said that he thought he was pretty good? Jesus already confronted him in this. There's only one that's good, and you're not him. But this guy's like, no, I'm pretty good. Like all these commandments, I've kept these commandments. I'm pretty good, God. What else do I need to do? I've done this. He had this distorted view. So for us, as we think about who we are in our view of ourselves, and we think we're pretty good, let's go ahead and just kind of put it to the test. How many of you would like your whole life story, every bit of it, all of it, 100%, showed on the screen? Let me see hands. Yeah, that's what I thought, me either. Nobody would want that, because you know why? We know deep down we're wicked. We know deep down that we are sinful. All right, now, this is okay with me because I've learned. My wife, me and my wife's, our code for our phone are the same, okay? So she has my code, I have her. It's the same code. If you know her code, you get in my phone. Don't tell anybody your code. So it's open policy. But what about, for some of us, would you want your phone up here and us read through your messages? Or go through your watch list? Or your search list, search history? Before you deleted it or cleaned it? I get it, okay? Because we're wicked. We're sinful. And without accountability... Okay, so we have accountability here. Without accountability, left to ourselves, we fall straight into, we actually kind of cannonball into the deep end of sin, don't we? As long as nobody else knows about it, like we can keep a good appearance. Like looking in the mirror, we look at ourselves, you know, we wear just the right clothes. Some of us don't want to wear certain clothes because those clothes don't make us look good. They don't make us look good. You know why? Because they tell the truth more than other clothes. And so we wear these other things to make us look good, to hide our faults. And so we have this distorted view of who we are. We think that we're pretty good people. And really, deep down, we are sinful. Our flesh wants us to sin, wants us to go after the things of this world. This man, actually, we start to see, has a problem. He wants to follow after God, but he really has a problem loving other people. How do we know that? Look at the commandments that Jesus told him to obey. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not be a false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see these coming from the Ten Commandments. Which ones didn't he mention? He didn't mention, don't take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He didn't mention those commandments that had to do with his relationship with God. He's pressing down on this young man. He says, you have a problem loving people, and so here are the commands that I know you break. You can't love horizontally very well. But this young man's like, I love people pretty good. We're going to see that really Jesus is going to press down so hard he breaks for him to really realize that he doesn't love people the way he should. And I want us to be challenged in that, because in our flesh, we don't love people well. In our flesh, we don't love people well. We want to hate people in our flesh. You're like, no, I like people. I love people. Okay, sure you do. Except for the one who cuts you off on 16th. Except for the one who is in the little few items lane at the grocery store. You're only supposed to have 10 and you're counting. I say 11. I know I count. I mean, I count like 1, 2, 3. That's 11. You need to be in that line. I don't say that. But in my heart, I'm like, I'm mad, you know, and so I'm there. And so in our flesh, we want to hate people. Just this guy here, he has this disdain. And it could have been that it's more of a prejudice in this sense, that he thought that he was better than. Isn't it easy to make that, and where we think that we're better than, that flesh calls us, draws us, and go, hey, you realize you're better than that person. And we rank ourselves, we rank people. And so let's go ahead and get this out there, okay? So no one person in here is better than another. Jesus had to die for all of us. There's no one that's perfect. You remember what Jesus said? There's only one that's good, and you're not him. So any situation that someone else is in, just know that you're one decision away from being where they are. And it could be that you've just not been in the same situation that they've been in. Let's take, for example, someone who's addicted to drugs or alcohol. Let's say that you're looking at them, oh, I'm so much better than that person. Well, no, it's just, it may be that you've just never been put in the same situation. You've never been put in a place where you've had that temptation or that opportunity to be addicted to that drug or that alcohol. You may not have had the abuse or the neglect that would drive you to that. But every one of us, just know this, every one of us, we're one temptation away from being exactly where everybody else that we look down on is. There's not one person in here who's better than another. This man had a distorted view of himself. He thought maybe he was better than. He probably had money, so he thought he was. And Jesus, he presses down on this when he says, hey, don't you know that there's only one that's good? And for you in here, everybody that's in here, just know this. For all of us who have this distorted view of who we are, we think we're good. The Bible says that everyone has broken the commands of God. Every one of us. Like, I break the commands of God every day. Like, can you say that? I mean, it's just the truth. Would you rather me lie to you? Like, I mean, I go like weeks without. Nope. I get mad. I get angry. My flesh has desires and all the, man, I'm a messed up person. No amens on that. Okay, I'm a messed up person. Life is messy because of my flesh. I'm running after God with all that I am, but my flesh is fighting me the whole time. Every one of us have broken the commands of God. The scripture says that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us. That every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That all of us have done things wrong and we're all wicked. And so this man hears, he's like, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus starts to press on him and says, hey, you got to obey these commandments. You know there's nobody good but God. So obey these commandments. And the guy's like, which ones? And Jesus said, the ones that deal with how you love people. The ones that deal with how you love people. And the guy was like, I've done all these things. So Jesus, here he goes. He presses down. That's what Jesus does. Jesus presses down on us. He doesn't give up on us, right? Sometimes we feel the call of God and the conviction of God, and we think, if I just wait long enough, I won't feel or hear it anymore, right? A lot of times, it'll get louder. Now, there will be a day that you will never hear again, but it's not because he doesn't keep calling. It's because your heart gets so hardened, according to Hebrews, or it gets so callous that you can't hear his call anymore. You become spiritually deaf, like your eardrums. Your eardrums, you know, they're flexible, but the harder they get, the older you are, the less flexible they are, the less you hear. That's what happens with your heart. The harder it gets, the more callous it gets, the less able you are to hear the word of God. But here, Jesus presses down harder. And in 21, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything you have. Give the money to those who are poor. You get that? Give the money to those who are poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. He was very rich. And this is how we know he's a young man here. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. He was very rich. With this one call, Jesus revealed the man's heart. He says, you love things more than you love people. Jesus wanted him to sell these things so that those things that held him so tight wouldn't hold him tight anymore. And then he could now love people around him. Because that's God's call for us. For us to love one another. In fact, the scripture tells us, it says, if you say that you love God but hate your neighbor, it says that the truth is not in you, that you lie. It also says that God will know that you follow me by the love that you have for one another. And so how we deal with one another really displays or puts on display our love for God. The horizontal here, what people see, how we love each other, shows the world how we love God. Because naturally, our natural tendency is not to love one another. Our natural tendency is to hate one another, form cliques, form groups, form small divisions everywhere. But God says, I want you to love one another. And here, Jesus revealed this man's heart. Sell those things that you have and give to the poor. And the man's like, I can't do that. I can't do that because these things, they're important to me. They're so important. I can't give up. You want me to give up my house, my home? If you put it in today's time, you want me to give up my car? All my wardrobe, all my clothing? You want me to give all those things? You want me to give those things to the poor? Don't you know why they're poor? They're poor for a reason, God. They're poor because they're not working, or they're poor because they're in addiction. They're poor for this reason or that reason. I'm just going to give it. And then we misquote Scripture. Sometimes I'm throwing my pearls before swine in this. This is really what you want me to do? And in that, we reveal our heart. We reveal that we love the pleasures of this world more than we love God. Because all God said is, I want you to give away something temporary so that you could show the love of God that's eternal. Something that won't last, something that will decay, something that can be destroyed, something that can be stolen. I want you to give those things up to show my love to these people who desperately need it. He said, no. Man, we live in a place where we have so many things. And our flesh loves things. And it's really easy for us to take our eyes off of Christ and start to put our eyes on the things of this world. Because our flesh is dragging and pulling and saying, you need a new home, you need a new car, you need a bigger house, you need a nicer car, you need better clothes, you need all these things. Okay, you need. And really, it's, you don't need, you want. And again, there's nothing wrong with having these things as long as those things don't have you. As long as you have them with an open hand, the problem is we don't have them with an open hand. We come, if you have these things, you have nice homes, nice cars, nice clothing, you just come to God with an open hand saying, I know these things are yours, and however you want to use them for your glory, I will do what you tell me to do with the things that you've given me. But too often we come to Him with a closed hand. These are my things. And I'm going to do with it what I want to. And God's like, I need you to do this with them or that with them. No, if I do that, somebody might tear them up. Somebody might destroy them. That's too nice for them. No. It's mine. And we try to convince ourselves like this man here. We have this distorted view, so we try to convince ourselves. And so we think that we're generous because when we outgrow the clothing, or we wear them out, then we give them to the poor. And really, we just give them to the poor because they're in our way. And we're like, oh, we're good. I'm giving to the poor. No, you're just trying to get rid of your trash. Usually so you can get new things. And so here's this man's like, I have and I love these things, the pleasures of the world, more than I love you or people. Now, I'm convinced that as we come to the end of our lives, that what we will do at the end of our lives is we won't look back and we won't go, you know, I wish I had a bigger house. And when you're on your deathbed, I don't think you'll be like, man, I should have really bought that Lamborghini. I was watching a movie this weekend. It was really good. It's about Little League World Series. Yeah, it's on Netflix. It has Believe in the name. I can't remember the name, but you should go find it and watch it. It's really incredible, based on a true story. And you see some of the people at the very end of the movie, but it's about a man who's coaching a team, and one of the players is his boy, is on the team, and the coach, his name is Bobby. Bobby gets cancer, and it's a cancer they can't cure, and he has a limited time, and these boys are going to the World Series. But Bobby is having a discussion with the other coach of the team. He says, it's weird. He goes, when you get to the end of your life, because he's at the end of his life, he said, I thought the things that I would think about are all the good things. Now I'm paraphrasing when you watch it, okay? All the good things, all the times that I had fun, all the glorious times of my life. He says, but in reality, the only things I can think of are the regrets. The things I should have done, the things I wish I would have done. The regrets are the things that are on my mind. I truly believe that the treasures of this world, because Jesus, we saw last week, he goes, I want your heart. And really, the treasures of this world have our heart. Because he says, where your treasure is, your heart will be. And so our heart belongs to this world. And he's like, I don't want your heart to belong to this world, because the world just wants to destroy you and hurt you and harm you. I want your heart because I want the best for you. He says, I want you to have life, but not just life, life more abundantly. And then when you start to think about the things that this world has to offer, okay, I want you to think about the pleasures and the things that this world has to offer. And we sang about it. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. We sang it. So let's put it to the test. $1 million home or Jesus? A $10 million home or Jesus? Like $10 million home? That'd be, wow. And there's been a lot of people who have forfeited their soul. They've gained the whole world, but they forfeited their soul for $1 million home. And we sang about it in the song. It's these things fade, the things of the world. You get $1 million home, you know what it's going to bring you? Anxiety. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my taxes? How am I going to pay for the roof to get fixed? There's the foundation starting to crumble. It's leaking in the bathroom. And all of a sudden you have anxiety and trouble, and it's just weighing you down. You own some stuff in this world, you know it brings you. It has anxiety. But when you have Christ, Christ doesn't bring you anxiety. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings you peace. He brings you a promise. He doesn't want to destroy and take from you. He wants to give to you. He wants to lavish on you. And all of a sudden, you start to compare the things of the world with Jesus. You're like, yeah, I'd much rather have Jesus, because that's where my joy comes from. And not to mention, again, on that last day, when you're on your deathbed, what's going to happen is I really believe we're going to say, why did I spend so much time searching and seeking after pleasure when God put me on this earth to seek and search after people that are far from Him, so that I could sell everything that I own and give to the poor? Now, I'm not telling you to go sell everything you own. If God tells you to sell everything you own, you sell it. But that it may be small things where God goes, hey, I need you to give one of your streaming services up online. You got 5 streaming services. I need you to give one of them up. And I need you to give that money to a ministry, to the church, to a building fund, to a mission opportunity, whatever it is. It may be, I saw a couple the other day, I thought this was really cool. God led them to eat nothing but rice for a whole month, because rice is what most people eat for every meal around the world. It's the most common meal around the world, and they ate rice for a month, every meal. And they used the money that they saved on groceries to give towards missions. God may tell you, hey, you just got that car paid off. It's good right now. for the next year. I want you to use whatever that payment was, and I want you to give it towards a ministry, and then you get a car the year after. I don't know what God's going to call you to do, but God's going to call us all to sacrifice in some way to show His love to people around us so that they can know the love of Christ, so that hopefully they can come and have a relationship with Him. Again, I love movies. Y'all like movies? I like movies. Movies impact me. And there's a clip we're going to watch here in just a second from Schindler's List. And Schindler was a businessman. And during the time of the Nazis, when the Jewish people were being murdered, he saved thousands. Some people say thousands. But in the movie, it's displaying this moment at the end of his time, because the Nazis have found out who he is and they're going to come arrest him. So he has to escape. He has to get away. And he's having a conversation with some of the people that he was able to save. And he's talking about what possessions compared to people really are. Which one's more valuable, possessions or people? And I believe that we're going to have that same thought, that same conversation with ourselves and the people around us on our deathbed. You want to put perspective, you want to put the things of this world into perspective? Check out this clip. one more person. You could have gotten one more person. When we come to our last day, how many of that's going to be on our thought? One more person. If I could have just not gone to Starbucks one last time, one more person. If I could have just not let those things of this world hold me so tight, how many more people could I have led to the Lord? How many more people could I have shared the love of God with? In 23, it says, Jesus said to the disciples, "What I'm about to tell you is true. It's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But it's even harder for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were really amazed. They asked, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So when Jesus said, "With people it's impossible," why is it impossible for a rich man to come to Christ, to make it to heaven? Because in our flesh desires the things of this world. The flesh desires to keep the pen and desires to keep the car. That's our flesh. They desire those things to keep, to hold on to. Again, these things aren't evil in themselves, okay? And it's not wrong to have things that are nice, but it's wrong when these things come before our God and before the love for other people. It's wrong when these things possess our heart. Where a man's treasure is, where is your treasure? Because if your treasure is here on this earth, this is where your heart is. This is what you long for. This is what you wake up for. This is what you go to work for. I'm going to work so that I can have more things. I can accumulate more things so I have more money in my bank account. I have a bigger house and I have a nicer car. But if your treasure is in heaven, Jesus said, if you would sell these things and give it to the poor, then you would have treasure in heaven. Not on earth, but in heaven. If your treasure is in heaven, you realize if you have a house, it's a blessing from God. It's not yours. You're just on it. You're just living in it. If you have a car, it's God's. It's His. You just get to use it. And when He calls and He says, "Here is what I need you to do with it," like He did with Abraham, "I want you to take your son and sacrifice him." If God calls you to sacrifice, to burn something, sometimes we get it in the wrong perspective, the wrong idea. You remember, I grew up in a time where parenting was a little bit different. And this may never happen to you, but let's say you were in the back of the car and you and your sibling, you and your brother, were fighting over an action figure. We call it action figure, so we don't call it a man doll. Okay? So you're fighting over the action figure. Or maybe it's a piece of candy. Maybe it's a chocolate bar, and you're fighting over this chocolate bar, okay? And you see a hand go, whoo, and grabs the He-Man or the G.I. Joe, and with one quick movement, whoop, out the window. Anybody had that kind of parenting? Yes, you need some of that, okay? And for you as a kid, it's like, you just took the most valuable thing away from me. In my mind, that's it. But in the parents' mind, they understand it was a few dollar piece of candy. It was a few dollar action figure. It wasn't the end of the world. They were able to take it, get it away, so that the conflict could be done away with. And God will do the same thing for us when the things of this world holds us too tight. He will get rid of it or ask us to get rid of it so it no longer holds us. The problem is, we think that what I just talked about with the parent, that's a great parenting. Hey, they threw away the He-Man. They threw away the Mr. Goodbar. I like Mr. Goodbar. Or whatchamacallit. I like a whatchamacallit. And they threw away the Mr. Goodbar. They threw that away. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's great parenting. And the reason we say that, because it's not a whole lot. It's a little bit. But here's what we don't get. That million-dollar home, that $50,000 car, whatever it is, that's nothing compared to the riches of God, and He doesn't mind taking it away and having you sacrifice it so that you can give your heart to Him. In Leviticus, it talks about the sacrifices, and in the sacrifices, you would take the best, not the least, but the best, the most valuable. And you would take those valuable animals and take them to the temple, and they would be burnt up. They would be destroyed on the fire. They would burn up on the fire. God may ask you to throw something on the fire, and if you can't do it, it's an idol. If you can't throw it on the fire and watch it burn, it's an idol. But you're like, but that's dumb. Why would God ever ask me to do that? Because God may ask you to do all kinds of things. He's got a plan for it. But I'm just saying, if he asks you to do it, you're making excuses because you're like, man, I could sell it. I could sell it and get the money. You'd be like the Pharisees when that woman came and poured out that perfume onto Jesus' feet. And as she poured it out, it said one of the Pharisees said, what is she doing? She's wasting it. We could have sold that and gave it to the poor. And Jesus says, I always won't be with you, but the poor will always be with you. She anointed me. She used up what she had. She used it up. And so for us, we have to get out of our mind and everything. Get out of our mind that this is too valuable or that's not a value, whatever. We have to get all that off our mind, out of our mind, and think, God, everything is yours. Everything is yours. And again, so when you go buy a new car, that's great. Buy the new car. You can have a new car. It's a blessing of God. That's fine. That's great. Do that. But as you buy it, you're not like, this is mine. You buy it and say, Lord, however you want me to use this, I will use it. If you want me to pick up somebody that's not the cleanest and they're going to make my car smell, and you ask me to do it, this is your car, and if you want your new car to smell, then it will smell because it's yours. It's not mine. Where a man's treasure is. So at the end of the day, here's the question for where is your treasure? And that will point to where is your heart? All this, again, these sermons aren't about trying to guilt people into giving anything. It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's about us giving our heart fully and wholly to Christ. To forget that our flesh longs after these things would be neglect. We must understand that our flesh wants to hold on to things of this world. And it's like the old trap they would do with monkeys. They would put a hole in the side of a termite hole, put something in it, and that monkey would run up to see what it is after the people left. They would grab what's in there. The problem is they wanted it so bad they would never let it go. They can't get their hand out, and the trappers could come up and grab them. Too often we're that way. God's given us some things. But instead of having an open hand, we have a closed hand and we're trapped. And the enemy's coming right up on us to destroy us and we won't let go. And the enemy's going to use the things of this world to cause conflict and destruction in our lives. And God said, why are you fighting over something that's going to be destroyed one day? Give it up and chase after the eternal. Again, there's nothing wrong with having things. The problem is when those things have you. That's the problem. Don't live life with regret. Man, can you imagine living? Some of you may be being called to missions and you're thinking, man, I just don't have the money to go on missions. You got the money to go on a mission trip. The problem is you're using it for other things. It may be time to give those things up for God to be able to use you in a different way. I don't know what God's calling you to do with your money and your finances and your things other than this. They're not yours. They're mine. If they're yours, you can take them with you when you die. They're not yours. And when you die, they'll be given to somebody else. They're not yours. We're on this small little ball in the middle of this universe, just a speck. We try to claim things like land. Quote this guy all the time, because when he said it, it was like, man, he's right on. Crocodile Dundee said, when you fight over land and property and all, it's like two fleas fighting over who owns the dog. We're full of anxiety. Some of us have anxiety. We've been praying about anxiety, about, God, I got all this anxiety. I got all this depression. And God's like, because too many things have you. You're worried about this thing, and you're worried about that thing, and you're worried if that's going to break, and if you're worried about that's going to leak, and you're worried about, and God's like, you got too many things. One of my favorite missionaries, and he really had an orphanage, but he was a missionary to the orphans, George Mueller. He got to the place, he said, things won't have me. So he simplified his life. Now listen, this is crazy. But man, just the kind of crazy God loves. So it was him and his wife that lived in a house. So he sold everything but two forks, two spoons, two knives, two chairs, two cups, two plates. And he used all the excess, all the what he had left to feed these orphans. Sometimes our life is just too complicated. Here's the challenge. An altar will be open if you want to come and pray and give. And sometimes we have special times where we dedicate things, dedication services. What if you just dedicated everything you got? Because that's what God sees, everything. That's what we're going to talk about next week, everything. God sees when we give everything. That's when he notices, is when we give everything. What if we just go ahead and give him everything now? Dedicate it all to him now. It's his anyway. Really, we're just dedicating ourselves and saying, God, I agree with you. It's yours. And wherever, however you want me to use it, I'll use it. You just tell me and I'll do it. Money, possessions, time, everything. Can you do it? Or will you be like the rich young ruler and go, I can't do that. And you walk away sad. Whatever the Lord have you do, church, please stand. Lord, Father, I come and, well, Father, I pray that as we take our last breaths on this earth, that we would have no regrets. Lord, I pray that the things that we have on this earth that we claim as ours, we understand they're not ours, they're yours. And however you would have us use those things for your glory, that we would do that. If you tell us to sell it and give it away, we'll sell it and give it to the poor. If you tell us to use it to take the gospel to our neighbor, we'll fix a plate. We'll fix the dinner and we'll take that plate to our neighbors. And say, so I was just thinking about you. I want you to have this. If it's to start tithing, if it's to start to bring money to the storehouse, Lord, I pray you would give us courage. Because it's scary. Because it doesn't always make sense. Our bills look so much bigger. But Lord, let us see you as bigger than our bills. Lord, let us live a life of sacrifice because that shows our heart belongs to you. Church, you respond as the Spirit calls you.